afternoon. Today is Wednesday, October the 8th, 278th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon in from the hills, Supervisor Sundberg.
Hello.
Hello. There's no canyon. You're waiting for the echo?
Well.
Hello.
Small room.
There it was. Yeah.
Small room, padded walls.
Yeah.
Kind of what I'm used to.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, the shackles are kind of insufficient, however. Got a couple things to talk about. Ryan had the opportunity to go to Washington, so we'll spend a little bit of time talking about his sightseeing, what he found most interesting there. Also, last week we heard from, was it an appeal court? Who was the water judge on this, on the Trinity?
It was the, I don't know if it was an appeal court. I think it was just the circuit court, I think, in Fresno.
Well, good. Well, somebody in the neighbor then had some thoughts about what we should and shouldn't do with our water. Mm-hmm. And Ryan went to a barbecue. A marijuana barbecue. What was the sauce? We'll find out when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. Are you done with that coffee?
No.
Okay, good. We'll suffer through that, too. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. My goal is to get him to cough it out.
Okay.
A hot coffee? No.
Yeah. You have a white shirt on, too.
Yeah, I know, but your aim, I know, is not that good, so I'm safe. Our quote this afternoon comes from Lorraine Teal. In 1996, quote, "If you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much room." Ooh, see?
That might work in well with our topic today.
Your marijuana barbecue?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you properly barbecue marijuana?
Barbecue marijuana.
Oh, I didn't read that right, did I?
No.
No?
Okay. I'm sure that they have some kind of barbecue sauce infused something.
Undoubtedly. I mean, if it
and
gets
if they
into,
don't, they will now.
If it's into brownies
and
vitamin pills, it's there somehow.
Yep.
It's interesting for me, probably the last 3 months or so, and I don't know, I think it was triggered by the homeless and then the aggressive and the zombie, the drug culture, mm-hmm. building momentum, Emerald Triangle being on Discovery for the 58th time. And I've been using the analogy, and since you grew up in the area also, you've seen it, maybe not as long as I have, but you've seen it also. And I'm feeling very, very comfortable in using the analogy with the frog in the boiling water. That we've been around, and this drug culture that has developed here over the last 30 or 40 years, we're kind of immune to it. It kind of bubbles and we see it, you know, if somebody gets busted for growing, it's kind of like, okay, fine, another drug bust this week, okay, fine, yeah, 7,500 plants, no big deal, you know, mm-hmm. some guy gets busted, you know, 4 or 5 pounds, yeah, you know, if there's meth involved, it might get your attention, you just kind of are numb to it. And yet we see what it's been doing to our communities. We see what it's been doing to our state. And we just go, okay. And yet it's a felony in many of the states in this country. And here we see it as a, you know, almost a non-crime. You know, as a supervisor, but as a local, do you use the same standard of measurement when you're talking about general use plans, or the land use element of the general plan, when you're talking to the folks in Willow Creek that are getting slammed just as hard as Eureka is, when you're seeing the visible impacts of this thing, mm-hmm. this culture, are you Ryan, the local guy, going, eh, no big deal? Are you Ryan, the supervisor, saying, what is going on here?
Well, I guess you, I don't know, I guess you can't split the two, and I'm both. What I see and what I want and what I hope, you know, is, or first I'll start with saying that I don't think it's going away. Marijuana, it's here. It's we had this barbecue, and Art Tonkin was there, and Art is. I'm not sure how old Art is, but he's up there, and he took the microphone.
Well seasoned,
okay. Yes. And he lived around here for a long time. And after listening to the speakers, and then they had a question and answer period, so people from the audience could ask me and Supervisor Bass and Richard Marks, and there was an attorney there that's part of the marijuana. Whatever.
Consortium almost?
Yeah, I forget the name of what they are. I actually have his card in my wallet.
Other jacket, yeah.
So, I mean, it's here to stay. And Art said, you know, this isn't going away. This is here to stay. I recognize that. That's why he let the group have their meeting at his business, you know, at the golf course. And they roasted a couple of pigs. They had a great dinner. They talked about all the problems. And it was actually refreshing because they talked about all the problems there is with marijuana. There's the environment. There's the trimmers that come in seasonally. You know, they call them, you know, seasonal workers that come in and then they hang out on the lawn. And
the associated culture, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the taxpayers and, you know, that paid into the community services district to make that really nice and beautiful, you know, and then you have people hanging out on there all day long that, you know, you just don't want them there, and it doesn't look good for the town, and it hurts the businesses. So, I mean, they went through the list of every single problem there is with that people have with marijuana, and they had ideas on how to tackle each one. So they had the problems that they hear, and they were right on with all the problems and then right on with the solutions. And, you know, one of the problems was that they said was that the, you know, the marijuana industry doesn't pay taxes. They're not engaged in the community. They just kind of stick to themselves and, you know, buy big trucks and drive them around and, you know, what. So one of their ideas for this coming year was they raised $4,000 at this meeting on Friday. And what they're going to do is do a whole Christmas dinner and Thanksgiving dinner for those that are less fortunate, you know, than not just a turkey, but they're going to do the whole spread. And they had someone who could identify the needy families and how much they would need. And they did all that ahead of time. And then they costed it out to see how much it was, and it came out to be right around $4,000 to feed these families for the two different holidays, and, you know, to have their first step on saying, "Hey, we want to be part of the community. We don't want to be outsiders. We're, you know, most of the locals up there know it's there to stay." But
if they are operating outside the law, and there are no business licenses that are available, and they aren't paying taxes, and they are, many of them are flaunting.
Some of them.
Yeah. They're not part of the community. They're there, but they're not. I mean, to be part of the community is you're locked in, you're vested, you're doing things, you're not operating illegally.
Well, I mean, so it's such a gray area, Brian. I mean, you know, when the sheriff shows up and the sheriff goes and looks around and says, there's 99 plants here.
Not enough to worry about.
There's no scales. Yeah. There's no...
It's not commercial. Okay.
You know, that is a very gray area, you know, and so they...
Certainly.
So this is their first step to be part of the community, you know, and, you know,
it doesn't have to be legalized before they can be part of the community. A legal, fully participating.
Well, here's the thing is this is coming fast. I mean, in 2016, it's my belief that the state of California will vote to legalize recreational marijuana.
Well, I think it's going to go through 3-1. I don't think there's even a question about it.
So
my concern,
if you don't start planning for it now, and you don't, you know, start, if you know that this is going to be a legitimate industry,
but now you're codifying what's illegal rather than waiting till it's legal and then executing the plan. Does it seem like the timing is a little goofy?
No, I mean, getting money for Christmas and Thanksgiving dinners.
Don't get mired down into that. I mean, they can self-assess like the lodging industry is. Okay, fine. Do whatever you have, fundraisers, whatever you want. But before the government, whether it's through the maybe passed by then general plan or some of the other options that are out there, We'll deal with it when we come back, I think. We may be pushing it a little bit, but we'll be back.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, it's really, hey, I'm more of a law and order guy. I don't care about the marijuana. Legalize all of it. I don't really care. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really don't come for, well, I guess Obama's already taken care of the health care part of the program. So don't come to me to cover your health care, your medical problems, but that's already been addressed by others. My concern is that, okay, so this is something that is, we recognize it will be legal, but it ain't now. Okay, there are a lot of other things. You know, prostitution out there. Okay, it's illegal. We say that it's harmless. We can argue that also. Well, let's get Humboldt County all geared up for that also, whether or not it may be legal next year or the following year or down the road. Well, who knows? But let's get it ready and let's
put together the... Prostitution's not going to be on the ballot in 2016.
No, but it might be in the 18. So,
and
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Seems like the timing is a little soft.
Here's the other piece that I think you're leaving out is that we have 215 for medical marijuana is legal in California.
But not codified, as you indicated.
Well, there's a lot of gray areas. You know, so codifying those gray areas, you know, and dealing with the environmental problems and starting that process of what can we all agree on. I mean, that's what the overall goal of this group is. You know, they're going to get together. They're going to try and write out an ordinance, because we have already, I don't know if you remember before when I came in, we said, okay, I've got problems in neighborhoods. We need to have something codified that deals with neighborhood impacts. And what ended up coming out of that was if you're 5 acres and under, you can have... It was 200 square feet if you're from 5 acres to 1 acre or something like that. And then you could have, you know, 4, 5, 6 plants if you are under half an acre, you know. And that is, you know, some people, one plant is going to bother them, you know, but we have to do something reasonable, you know, and come up with a reasonable thing. You know, can you have one pig on your property and it doesn't bother your neighbor? Or, you know, when does it become commercial? All that stuff has to get worked out. But we decided that we were going to tackling all of marijuana at once, we decided we would do neighborhood impacts first, and then we would do the large outdoor second, because something has to happen. You know, so having this group has pulled all the different stakeholders together, and I believe that they're even pulling the sheriff and the DA and asking them to be part of this process to see how can we deal with these issues.
Didn't
Mendocino
do that and have it, and then DOJ said no and blew him out of the water?
I don't know.
I find it interesting, and
I know that Trinity County has the same program that we have for the neighborhood impacts, and they got sued and they won in court. So we, that's what gave us
model
the
kind of
solid footing that, you know, we can use this process to handle the small neighborhood impacts.
The environmental degradation is not specific to marijuana. It would be for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why aren't we enforcing the environmental laws, period, rather than environmental laws caused by one user group?
Well, that's a good question for the state. I mean, that's, you know, they've told us that they don't have the resources. And
well, neither do we if we're losing the water.
You know, when they, I don't know how they choose their process on who to enforce the marijuana rules on, but I know now every single time they've got someone from Fish and Wildlife and from the water board, and you know, they, and that's where they have more teeth is in the environmental crimes instead of marijuana crimes, because there's such a gray area and you know what the DA can prosecute and what they don't and all that. So it's a lot more, they can get a lot more penalties out of, you know, diverting streams and illegal grading and, you know, and those kinds of
things. You mean follow the money? Bigger fines?
Well,
it makes sense.
And that's what, and I think that's what most people care about. You know, they, I think if you asked most people, probably not you, but
no,
most
no,
people, if you had an industry.
Probably not me. What?
You like that one?
Yeah. And, so, and almost smooth, too.
Yeah. So if you, most people that I talk to, if you ask them, if you had an industry that was regulated, that didn't hurt the environment, that was under control with, you know, everything from how much, you know, where they get their water to rat poison to, you know, how they put their money in the bank and it's taxed, and, you know, if someone got sick over in McKinleyville, if they could trace that back to the source and say, hey, you've got a bad batch here, like they do with, you know, because you've got two lanes. You've got the medical side and then you've got the recreational side. And if you had all of that put together, codified, taxed, and we give you enough money to go after the people who are doing the wrong thing, I mean, and Humboldt County made money off of it, and you know, we can provide more services, I don't know how much pushback you get. You know, you get some people who just don't believe marijuana is good, that it's a gateway drug, that it's, you know, this.
But if it's legalized, it doesn't matter.
It's already legalized. I mean,
not the medicinal, the regular stuff. And I think that's the line in the sand for me. If it's legal, it's legal. If it's not, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm in favor of legalization.
Yeah.
But I'm not in favor of turning your back to something that's illegal because it might be inconvenient. Well, KINS, News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish-language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:34. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. In addition to going to barbecues, I know you've been doing other stuff, and things have been going on in the area also. There was the judge's decision last week about the water flow in the Trinity and that perhaps it wasn't done the best way it could have been done, but it didn't sound like there was a punitive element associated with it either. So it was more like
an
advisory council?
Well, it was a very interesting ruling because the judge said, you didn't do anything wrong, but you better not do it again. And I believe...
You use those same lines with Sophie and confuse her, too, huh?
Yeah.
As a parent, I mean, you get those cross messages. I mean, what's the upshot of this thing? If you didn't do it wrong, it's kind of just as like, don't ask for permission when you do it again.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a warning to the Bureau of Reclamation saying that... See, what happened in this lawsuit was all of these... Everything was presented that were all the different options, what's out there. And one of those options that were out there that we got to present, and Hoopaw Tribe was a big help, was that Humboldt County has a contract from way back when they did the Trinity River project.
In the 60s?
68, I believe, or 65.
Yeah, mid-60s. Yeah.
It says very, very clearly in there that Humboldt County shall get no less than 50,000 acre feet, and it says shall.
Guaranteed, boom, that's
guaranteed
it.
Guaranteed, yeah. To do with what they please, that's their water. That's our water. So that has never been... enforced. It's never been upheld. It's never been delivered. And so every
50,000 has never been delivered, or it's never been issue.
It's never. Well, we've been fighting it the whole time, saying, you know, we're owed this. This is something that was promised to us when this all came. You know, when you put the project in, you haven't given it to us, and we keep getting told. I know Supervisor Duffy worked on this before me, and I've been working on it since I got in office to get them to make a ruling, you know, tell us why they're not giving us this water. And I think if I was a mind reader here and my best guess, I think the judge saw that in the contract that says that Humboldt County has, you know, no less than 50,000 acre feet. There's an easy solution to this. You don't have to get sued every year, Bureau of Reclamation. Give Humboldt their 50,000 acre feet and you don't have a problem anymore because it's in the contract. It says right there.
So the ruling was against Bureau of Reclamation?
Well, the ruling was
for... Or advisory.
For, yeah, it was ruled in favor of the Bureau. But the judge...
To provide the 50,000 or
no,
not?
No.
Or
he didn't say anything about that. But what he said, doing the releases that you've done... This ruling was from the year before last when it got sued. Remember, there's a temporary restraining order,
right?
And they shut the water off for a little bit. Then they turned it back on. Well, that lawsuit finally has made it all the way through.
Oh, this is the lag time.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah. So basically, what the judge said was, Bureau of Reclamation, you did the right thing in releasing water to save fish, and they probably would have died if you wouldn't have done that. However, don't do that again under that same process because you have other tools. So we will...
What are the other tools?
Give Humboldt their 50,000 acre feet.
But isn't that what they did?
No, they haven't done that.
Well, so with the water release?
They just... Yeah, that was just a release they did.
It wasn't coordinated with anything.
It definitely did not say we're releasing this water under Humboldt County's 50,000 acre feet statute or they're under their purview or yeah.
So why are these guys then able to operate outside? Here it is, yet again, outside the law, and we sit around and do we not have strong enough representation from our federal electeds to go after him, or what's the deal? I mean, if it's been 40 years, it's not one individual.
Congressman Huffman has been extremely strong. He just sent another letter the other day, and it was right on point with, hey, you're getting sued every year. Give Humboldt their 50,000 acre feet. It's not your problem anymore.
Where's Feinstein and Boxer? And they're supposed to be our advocates, right?
Yeah.
And they're pro-environment and all this other stuff, at least with words.
Yeah, and I don't know where they're at. I know they represent a lot bigger district than, you know, which includes water districts down south. So they've been a little more quiet. But Congressman Huffman has been really, really strong. And he's actually written to the Bureau and said... Because what we've been told is the attorneys have made an opinion but they're not releasing it, and they're saying it's under attorney-client privilege. So Huffman
just... That's an interesting interpretation, isn't it?
Yeah. So Huffman just said, you know, you need to release that opinion and do the right thing. And
so he's turning the heat up a little bit on
this one. The heat's definitely turned up. This drought with the judge's ruling and them saying there's an opinion done but not being released, I think all the stars are aligning, you know, and I'm...
The shells are cracking.
My fingers are crossed that they'll do the right thing and say, Humboldt, you have 50,000 acre feet per year to do with what you want, and we'll be able to release water. I mean, it just makes sense. You know, we've got... We're the ones here on the ground that it affects. You know, we have a fishing industry with tribes.
We could get the Humboldt Municipal Water District to put in a pipeline over to Trinity Lake, so then Trinity Lake could release water through the Trinity River system rather than through the Mad.
Yeah, I've had a few people ask about... That's an interesting thing, because...
You're taking this serious.
Well, people have said that.
Really?
Yeah, and actually, you know, and piping it over to other communities in the area and all that.
That part I get, but not up to Trinity Lake, so it can be released, you know, one mountain range over.
I swear to God, people have said that. And the problem is you have to pay for that infrastructure. You have to pay for the piping.
We'd be paying ourselves to get water to ourselves that we already have.
What would happen is you'd have more water for farmers, and because they would suck it out of those pipes
out of the
Trinity
dam,
River, and then you'd have more that could be released. So
maybe we get budget from BLM or Bureau of Reclamation, handle the whole thing. I'm sure they have some of that money sitting around.
They all have said their deficits. So that's what they claim.
That doesn't stop a lot of them. Right?
Well, that's what they claim when you ask for anything.
Yeah, imagine that. KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, one of the challenges I would think for a supervisor, and in addition to all the mishmash with the governmental entities and this's and that's and whatnot that keeps you gainfully employed, is the pulse of the community. You know, one-on-one, we split a donut, we talk, fine, move on to the next guy, no big deal. But when there's larger, significant things going on, business being sold, a development coming in, things of that nature that are really private sector 100%, but somehow they think that you have a voice in the equation, or that you have some inside knowledge, or you know, unless the family name is associated with it somehow, where do they think this stuff comes from?
Well, I mean, we do have power as an advocate, and, you know, I mean, we have a platform and a, you know, the bully pulpit, I guess you could say.
But if Bob's going to sell his grocery store to Sam,
yeah,
there's really nothing that you guys should even be involved with.
No, but I think we should. I mean, there's, you know, I'll give you an example. There's Ocean West in McKinleyville. It's a senior trailer park or with mobile homes, and... You know, and it's a very, very nice place. We take Sophie there every year since she was born. We take her there for Christmas, and they've got the baby Jesus with the wise men, and you know everything. And they've got lights, and you know the whole place is lit up. It's beautiful in there. So we take a walk around or drive through every year, and it's just a really nice park, and it's kept up perfectly. You know, and so. there's a
it's know, a nice trailer park
family yeah. that's owned it forever. And there's two lots, actually. There's a lot in front that's right across the school, right across the street from McKinleyville High School. And then there's a lot in back that are undeveloped.
So are those part of that?
They're all part
complex,
of the same.
Complex, or could be?
Yeah, they're separate parcels, but they, you know, they're all together. They're all selling them, you know, it's all being sold together. And they, so the residents, you know, heard that it was going to be sold and, you know, worried about their rents going up. There's a lot of seniors on fixed incomes in there that can't afford, you know, a big rate increase. So they got me involved and talked to the family and the person selling it. And, you know, there was basically came down to a private company that does in investments in parks, and then a nonprofit resident owned parks. And here's how I got involved is to do the parcel, the commercial property across the street from the high school and back in the back part, they need permits. And so
right, if they're going to expand,
it's like, yeah. I'm going to walk you through the permit process. I will do everything in my power to get you through the county process as quick as possible. Please don't make this like a ding against them, you know, because you think it's going to take a long time to get your money because of these permitting processes. I've done it before, you know, I listed the, you know, different companies that I've helped, walked them through the process and got their permits really quickly. And so in the end, it got sold to the private company, and I was really disappointed because now there's owners, you know, they own the home, but they don't own the ground. And so they're worried that their rents are going to go up, and you know, for good reason. And it's disappointing because I, you know, put a lot into that, and then to have it not work out, and I'm used to getting in my way.
So when you look at something like that, Humboldt County doesn't have rent.
Rent controls.
Thank you. And things of that nature. And I would like to think we don't need to go there, but
no.
Something like this, you know, when it does happen, it impacts a lot of people. Are there any remedies that are available, or is it just wait and see and let's find out what happens?
Yeah, I know the state of California has rules in place on senior mobile home parks and senior complexes and that kind of thing. So there is some rules in place on what they can do, but you know, I think there's seniors that are barely making it now, you know, and they're probably going to have to choose between medicine and rent and that kind of thing. And you know, if they even at the state limits of what they can raise it to, it's still going to be an impact on folks. So
was the facility being sold because it was no longer profitable, or because the families just decided that it's time for them to do something different?
Yeah, I think it was just a personal decision that the family made based off of the, you know, personal reasons for them, you know.
So it wasn't as if it wasn't making money, and so they have to bump it up to make money.
No, it was fine. As far as I know,
are there plans to have that expanded out to cover that whole? I can't say city block. But
I was working with a nonprofit, and the plan that they had was to put commercial on the bottom, and residences on the top.
Also have some apartment condo kind of things.
Yeah, and then have commercial buildings on the bottom, you know, for right across from the high school, and then have some kind of complex behind that, you know. So that was the idea they had there, and that was what I said that I would help with permitting. And now all bets are off because that other company got it.
So you're going to have to save your juice for something else.
The fight's not over yet. I'm not giving up.
Ooh, the gauntlet is thrown. Act two, when we next see Mr. Sundberg. As you know, as a parking lot changes? No. As the sands of go out in the water? Or there's sure. We'll come up with something.
Yeah.
As the pig roasts.
Yes.
Yes.
Pig turns.
Yeah. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Hopefully it'll make a lot more sense than this did. Till then, go out and make a good day. Looks like what you'll see you tomorrow.